BCY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the internet at vcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
And good afternoon and welcome to Crosstalk on VCY America. Today I'd like to talk with you about the Christian and social media. Well, social media is something we put to use on a corporate basis here at VCY America and Crosstalk. It's technology is things we operate, radio, television, communications, social media, we put to use, and we use it in a way to certainly further the gospel here through VCY. But I'd like to take a look at it, its overall use, as it comes with both blessings and pitfalls, especially as we take a look as how it is used on a personal basis. And that's what we'd like to address today. You see, to me, it's absolutely amazing, but also very alarming to see how pious one can be on Sunday, how they can perhaps have positions within the church or sing all the hymns, but yet how vulgar they can be on every other day of the week. Perhaps it's something they say or how they present themselves in pictures or what they're doing. You wonder, how is this compatible in the Christian life? And maybe it's a sharer of inappropriate content or that which takes God's name in vain. And should you dare say anything, you're defriended or you're said to be holier than thou. The big J word comes out. You're judgmental. Ladies and gentlemen, young people see all of this and they fall into that trap themselves, knowing that, hey, I can lead a secret life here on this, in this virtual world that I portray different in real life. But friends, the secret life is not so secret. I came across a couple of articles I'd like to share with you, and then later we'll open up the phone lines and have your comments on it. The first article I'd like to share with you is has this question, should Christians use social media? That's from belief.net. And the article says, social media has become the favored method of communication for people all over the globe. Millions of people turn to Facebook before they pick up their phone or look at Twitter for updates because they can turn on the news. Instagram, Snapchat, and Facebook have become the main way people share photographs with each other. And thousands of people pull their recipes from Pinterest. Just because something is popular, however, does not mean it's a good idea. For all that it helps keep family members who live across the country in touch with one another, social media causes its fair share of problems. The lack of fact-checking has led to some already infamous messes for Facebook, and social media has been known to whip up digital mobs that can lead to terrible cyberbullying, threats, and in the worst cases, real-world violence or suicide. With this dark side of social media slowly coming to light, people are beginning to wonder if they should continue using social media. It may be convenient, but at what cost? Is it worth the risk? Should Christians use social media, or should they stay far away? Using social media is not in and of itself a problem. The problems begin to appear depending on how a person uses social media and how often they log onto their account. Christians are told that they should not get so involved in this world that they lose track of God and the next world. Unfortunately, social media can cause a person to do exactly that. Internet addiction, especially its subset of social media addiction, has exploded in the past few years. People become more invested in their virtual lives than their real lives and become irritable, depressed, restless, and anxious when they're unable to check their social media accounts. Addiction is, of course, something everyone wants to avoid, but it is especially problematic for Christians who may begin neglecting their spouse, their children, their church, or even their relationship with God. When considering whether or not Christians should use social media, the amount of time spent on Instagram, Facebook, or Tumblr is not the only problem. Christians need to consider what they are posting and reading on social media. Are they posting things that they can be proud of, or are they posting pictures of themselves in overly sexualized positions? Do they post statuses and make comments that are in line with the Bible, or are their social media accounts a tribute to themselves and their lives? Social media makes narcissism easy. Behind every post is the assumption that someone is interested in that post. This means that when somebody posts about how amazing their sandwich was at lunch, they subconsciously assume that someone is interested in reading about their sandwich. Since many people are on social media all but constantly, the person posting about their sandwich will probably get a like or a comment asking about where their sandwich was from or commiserating on how much the other person loves turkey and sourdough as well. This can easily become a feedback loop that convinces a person that everything they do is fascinating and that the world is always interested in that in their every move. This, however, is simply not true. It could also be problematic. Christians are taught to be humble and selfish. It's hard to be either of those when a person is convinced that they are the most fascinating creature on the planet and that everyone else is hanging on their every word. Social media is infamous for whipping up virtual mobs that can and do rip a stranger's character to shreds. Simply talk to anyone who was ever foolish or naive enough to scroll down and read the YouTube comments under a video. Such judgments are easy to make on social media. There's a screen between the person judging and the person being judged, what makes it feel anonymous. This can lead to people letting loose vitriol that they never would unleash in real life. Social media has cases of people being told to kill themselves because their stomach stuck out a bit in their dress, or being told that they are worthless and a waste of human skin because they liked the tweet of a politician. It can be a virtual lynch mob just waiting for an excuse to pounce. Find just about any Christian post on Tumblr, if more proof is needed. The attacks can be vicious and are often personal. Even if a Christian avoids getting swept into the social media uproar, it can be very easy to use social media to one-up friends and family members. If a cousin posts a picture and gets a dozen comments about how good she looks, a person may post their own picture to show that they actually look even better. They may also make some sort of backhanded comment about how quickly said cousin lost all that Christmas weight. Neither of these are a good Christian response to a person posing with their fiancé, yet they are painfully common on social media. Social media can be a wonderful gift to Christians. It can enable them to share their faith with people that they would otherwise never reach and stay in touch with family members or friends that live in different states or cities. Social media can, however, act as a stumbling block to Christians. Social media begs a Christian to focus on this world and place themselves at the center of it all. If a Christian can resist that siren call, there's reason not to set up few social media accounts. If the temptation to say, "Look at me," is too much, though, it is probably best that a person walks away from their account until they can remember what truly, really, truly matters. Here's a hint. It's not the number of likes on a post. That article on BeliefNet.com, should Christians use social media? I went to another site, gotquestions.org, and the question was asked, should a Christian use social media networking tools, Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest, Instagram, etc.? And here's how they responded. Hundreds of millions of people are running toward social networking sites like Facebook and Twitter to participate in the relational components of the Internet. Are these networks the next big mission field or an enormous waste of time? Should a Christian participate in social networking? The answer to these questions should be determined by whether we can honestly ask God to bless and use our actions for His own good purposes. So whether therefore ye eat or drink or whatsoever ye do, do it all to the glory of God, 1 Corinthians 10:31. If we're willing to let God use our participation for His glory, we've got freedom to participate. Christians who choose to participate in social networking should be aware of the negative aspects of social networking. It should be remembered that not everyone on the Internet has pure motives, and we should use safety precautions, utilize the privacy settings, and be selective as to who is accepted as a friend or fan. People should regularly interact with their children. Parents should interact with their children and be active participants in their child's use of social networking sites. In addition, Christians should be aware of the dangers of the narcissism, excessive self-love, and preoccupation with self inerrant in self-oriented sites. I found that interesting. Two different sites, both addressing this issue, and both addressing this issue of narcissism, just focusing on self-love. Studies have shown that overuse or wrong motives in social media participation can breed narcissism. When we rely on social media sites primarily to promote ourselves or draw attention to ourselves, it's time to take a step back. It's wise to utilize accountability, encouraging spouse, family members, and Christian brothers and sisters to view our social networking activity and hold us accountable. As it says in Proverbs 27:17, the iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of a friend. It's also important to understand the impact our status, photo, comments, or blog post may have in the future. It should be remembered that social networking sites involve publishing to the entire internet, including family members, current and future employers, college admissions personnel. The ramifications of any statements both now and in the future should be considered. It should be assumed that everything written is permanent and viewable by everyone. Furthermore, while maintaining relationships is important and healthy, addiction is not. Limiting the amount of time we devote to these social networking sites is both healthy and wise. On the other hand, there are definitely positive aspects of social networking. For the Christian, social media sites can be an enormously productive mission field. Reconnecting with old friends and increasing our sphere of influence can lead to evangelistic opportunities unavailable elsewhere. Social media allows us to re-enter the daily lives of people that we may have lost contact with and open up new avenues for sharing Christ. As such, we can influence the views of others by what we post, bringing encouragement and spiritual guidance to others, and using friends' likes, list, or Facebook status updates to pray regularly for friends and for their needs. We're reminded in Hebrews chapter 10, verses 24 and 25, "And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching." And I think it's important because so often we provoke one another to anger and stir up feelings through social media posts, ladies and gentlemen, rather than to do as the writer of Hebrews said, to provoke unto love and to good works. Going back to GodQuestions.org, they say, finally, social networking sites can engage spiritual seekers on the internet, meeting those seekers where they are. Just like face-to-face evangelism, we can establish credibility and authenticity in the seeker's natural and comfortable environment, and then build on that foundation and share the love of Christ with new online friends. Interesting thoughts on a Christian's use of social media and networking tools. And I have one final article I'd like to share with you here today as well, from ChristianHeadlines.com, that gives five significant truths Christians should remember while using social media. And as I go through these, I trust that you'll be able to jot down some of the scripture verses that we're going to be sharing through this article. This is an article, and I've added some scripture myself that has come to my mind as we consider this topic today on the Christian and social media, because we find it's so upon us. And again, to me, it's so appalling to see one who can be so pious in their Christianity until you look at their post and how vulgar they are in their post, and the sends and the shares that are there of articles and things that take God's name in vain or make a mockery of Christianity or is so characteristic of what this world has to offer. So let's take this break, and we'll come back and deal with those five significant truths Christians should remember while using social media. Back in just a minute. This is Crosstalk on the VCY America Network.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, creation author with the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, you say that there was no death before Adam sinned. But what about plants? Didn't Adam eat plants?
Yes, Chris, Adam and Eve did eat plants in the Garden of Eden. But was this really death in the biblical sense? There's a profound theological distinction between plants and animals in the Bible. Both man and the animals are described as having life, Hebrew nephesh, which plants don't have. The term life is reserved for those animals in whose nostrils is the breath of life, and also by the fact that life is in the blood. Plants have neither breath nor blood. Thus, the eating of a plant in the Garden of Eden wouldn't necessarily involve death. Plants are biologically alive, but they're not biblically alive in the sense that they do not have true life. You see, Chris, there's always an answer to the anti-creationist questions. Back to Genesis. Now that works.
Thanks, Dr. Morris.
This is Crosstalk on VCY America. Yeah, we may be stepping on some toes today, but dealing with the topic of the Christian and social media. And talking about your social media life, and friends, it's not private. It's out everywhere. And I have seen people who have posted things who later regretted what they posted, try and take it down. But guess what? There's screen captures and everything else. What you put out on social media is going to live forever. It's going to live forever. It will come back and bite in some form or another. And so often we're quick to hit the buttons and hit send or do whatever it is that to do, and out of a moment of frustration or anger, and folks, it's gone. It's out there. I came across this third article that I'm going to be sharing with you today, and this is really what prompted the program in itself. Five significant truths Christians should remember while using social media. It's from ChristianHeadlines.com. And thought it would be very interesting to share with you, and a little bit later we'll open phone lines and get your reaction. Even though online interactions may be virtual, they have real influence on our own lives and the lives of others, the article begins. Social media can be a powerful tool to connect with friends, family, and even strangers who share our interest. However, it can also be a maze of content that ranges from benign to downright dishonoring to God. It's easy to get lost in the status updates, the Instagram filters, and even the memes. So how should a Christian behave on social media? Now are five things Christians need to remember when using social media. Number one, and I believe this really is, I really agree with the writer on this. Number one, you are a representative of Christ. Not long ago, the only way anyone would interact with another person was, well, it was in person. Someone who knew nothing about Christianity would actually have to meet a Christian. However, today, Christians and non-Christians alike are online with access to each other's lives. A Christian on social media may be the only Christian someone might interact with. Are we using social media in such a way that if a non-believer stumbled upon our profile, that they would be inclined to look into Christianity? Or at least think that maybe Christians aren't such a terrible people? Think of Jesus' directive in Mark chapter 16, verse 15, where he said, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." We see in Matthew 28 to go into all the world and what make disciples. That's what we're told, aren't we? It makes it easier to misrepresent the gospel to all the world. That we need to remember this calling when interacting with others. You see, we're to make disciples, and it's easier than ever in a digital age where posts spread across the globe in seconds. But it also makes it easier to misrepresent the gospel to all the world. Just a reminder, number one, you are a representative of Christ. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 20 reminds us, "Now then we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ that be ye reconciled to God." You're an ambassador for Christ. How are you doing at representing him through the post you make? Through the shares you make of various articles or videos. Also, 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 2 says, "Ye are our epistle, written in our hearts, known and read of all men." Are you consumed in self, or are you consumed in Christ? So that's number one. You're a representative of Christ. And don't forget that before you hit send or before you hit post, recognize you are a representative of Jesus Christ. Number two, you're interacting with real people. You're interacting with real people beyond reaching a wider world for Christ. We're told to love our neighbors. Galatians 6:2 says to bear one another's burdens. We're to love God by loving others. We see that in Matthew 25. And as we use social media, we are building others up or tearing them down. It's a question to ask. Am I going to build somebody up with this post, or will I tear someone down? You see, sometimes we think we're anonymous, and that screen gives us an anonymity. Many people can confidence to say things they wouldn't dare say in person. This isn't necessarily a good thing. Internet trolls and bullies abound. Even those who aren't trying to be mean may make hurtful comments. A good rule of thumb is that if you wouldn't say it to someone in person, you probably shouldn't be saying it on the internet. Just because it's virtual doesn't mean that there isn't a flesh and blood human on the other side of the screen with feelings and emotions just like you. So consider these verses from Colossians chapter 4, verse 6. Let your speech, or should I say your typing in, your characters, your post, let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that ye may know how we ought to answer every man. And let's also take a look at Ephesians chapter 4, starting at verse 29, where it says, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. And that's the second point. You are interacting with real people. Number three, you are putting thoughts in your mind. Interacting with others aside, what is social media doing for our personal faith? Are we using it in a way that honors God and brings us closer to Him? Or are we using it to access content that dishonors Him and corrupts our minds? With so much available quite literally in the palms of our hands, it's easier than ever to get sucked into questionable content and activities. Social media makes it possible to anonymously view content that no one will ever know you've seen. This doesn't just include pornography. There are plenty of depressing memes, inappropriate jokes, discriminatory content, heretical ideas, and violent or distasteful posts on every social media platform. If you find yourself depressed after going on social media, you may need to limit yourself to positive friends and content and stop following accounts that bring you down. If you find yourself thinking inappropriate thoughts you wouldn't have had before, you may need to instill content filters or change what it is that you are viewing. It's easier to become desensitized to things that aren't of the Lord. Periodically ask yourself whether what you are doing is drawing you closer to God or putting stumbling blocks in your relationship with Him. Just a few verses that came to my mind on this particular point is Philippians chapter 4, verse 8, where it says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. The psalmist said in Psalm 101, verse 3, I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. I hate the work of them that turn aside. It shall not cleave to me. And Romans 13, 14, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Point number four they make is social media isn't real life. A lot of preparation goes into those Instagram photos. The models you see are often photoshopped and airbrushed. Even the I'm so blessed post on Facebook that show happy families were likely preceded by an earlier temper tantrum. People put on their best face forward on social media. They post about their dramatic triumphs, not usually about their mundane laundry or changing diapers. They post about their promotions, not the endless days spent in a cubicle to get there. When it seems that everyone around you has it all together, they don't. All of us are muddling through life, the writer says. Instead, as Paul said, rejoice with them that do rejoice, weep with them that weep, interact with others, but don't let the virtual world distort the way you see the real world. And number five, likes and shares can't replace physical interaction. It's great to like and to share to support a cause. Commenting, I'm praying for you under a friend's post about a hard time can help them feel better. However, these things don't hold a candle to doing something tangible in person. When a friend posts that they're struggling, don't just give them a sad face reaction on Facebook. Ask, what can you do? Bring them meals, sit with them, talk with them, pray with them. When you see an organization you think is doing amazing work or where you see a post about a need, do more than share it. Do something about it. Rather than only posting about the plight of the homelessness in your city, consider volunteering or asking others to volunteer in a soup kitchen or donate clothing to a shelter. Whatever the situation, likes and shares are most effective if those who see them are willing to do something about it. I'd like to share with you a few verses from James chapter 2. Starting in verse 15, it says, if a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say to them, depart in peace, be warmed and filled, notwithstanding ye give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? Even so, faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. Thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. And so just a concluding thought here. As Alyssa wrote, shared that article in ChristianHeadlines.com, whether you're browsing to smile at cat pictures or to encourage your friends, hold fast to the wisdom of Colossians 3:17. And whatsoever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. From Colossians 3:17, the writer finishes that article there. I'd like to get your response to what you've heard today here as it relates to the Christian and social media. Are you neglecting your family and personal relationships due to social media? If perhaps you're a spouse or son or daughter or parent of one who has felt on the receiving end of neglect because of social media and it dominating the lives of others in your home. Is your life built around virtual friends or personal relationships? Are you concerned by those who name the name of Christ on Sunday but are vile or vulgar or suggestive in their post on their sites? Are there safeguards that you have put into place? Or maybe you don't think this is an issue at all, and I'm just making a mountain out of a tiny little anthill. I'd like to hear your reaction to this issue today. Our phone number to Crosstalk is 800-733-9829. 1-800-733-9829 as we talk about the Christian and social media today. Technology can be used as a means to further the gospel. It can also be used in a way to tear other people down. And so we'd like to hear your thoughts on this matter today on the Christian social media. Again, our number to Crosstalk is 800-733-9829. We'll take your calls and comments on the very issue here today. We're going to begin with Roy calling in from Bayside, Wisconsin. Roy, you're on the air.
Jim, your fatherly and godly advice today makes me, I consider you a modern-day George Washington. I mean, George knew how to use strategy and tactics to fight America's enemies, but he also gave people sensible, wholesome, productive advice and counsel, and that's what you do. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Roy, for the comments today. Appreciate it. Our number to Crosstalk, 800-733-9829. I'd like to capture your thoughts on this issue today. Am I just overstating this case, or do you believe there's an issue that's going on, even amongst the church today, amongst Christians in the church today? Our phone number to Crosstalk, 800-733-9829. We're going to take a break. We'll come back with more of your phone calls. I've got several open lines. 800-733-9829. Or if your toe has been stepped on today, you're saying ouch rather than wishing to call in today, pick up your phone, give us a call, 800-733-9829. Back in just a minute. You're listening to Crosstalk.
The Bible follows the rise and fall of kingdoms and governments, covers millennia of ancient history, and reveals God's plan for humanity through powerful accounts that still speak to us today. In the hardcover book, Charting the Bible Chronologically, authors Tommy Ice and Ed Heinzen have teamed up to provide readers a panoramic view of the events recorded in Scripture, all laid out in chronological order. This book takes you from the words in the beginning all the way to the New Jerusalem. With 40-plus full-color charts, you will see timelines of biblical history, pre-flood genealogy, Israel, the life of Christ, and a master fold-out chart of the entire Bible. This is a vital resource for new believers and Bible scholars alike, providing a visual guide to God's unfolding plan. Charting the Bible Chronologically is available for a donation of $25 or more to VCY. Call 1-800-729-9829. 1-800-729-9829.
You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America. The topic today, the Christian and social media. So much is built around me. Look who I am. Look what I'm doing. Look what I've accomplished. Look at me in this photo. Look at me in these clothes. Here's where I have been. Jesus said in John 15, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing. Let's go to Delaney calling from West Bend, Wisconsin. Delaney, you're on the air.
Okay. Hello. I just want to say that social media is basically a big thing that people need to understand. And the Christian way is to be very positive on the internet. And you can't be so, like, negative about things. And I've been saying on Snapchat, and I listen to this lady, and she writes poems about Christ. And I listen to those. I wake up every day, and I listen to her. And every night, I listen to her, and I praise the Lord. Have a great day next day. And people are on their phones so much that it's crazy, you know. I just, like, but at least I always pray about social media to make things better. And really, that is it.
Well, Delaney, thank you for sharing. And are you willing to share what age you are?
10.
10. Thank you so much, Delaney. Let's go to Lee in Marana, Arizona. You're on the air.
You know, well, good afternoon, Jim. I think you said it. When, you know, when we're on the internet as a whole, we have to ask ourselves, are we being a good representative for the Lord?
Yeah.
And that'll pretty much, right there, if you ask yourself, we know that answers it.
Yeah.
And that should have you get off or change what you're going to write or what have you.
Yeah.
So God bless you, and thank you for the topic today.
Thank you for your call here, Lee. We've got Tim from Andover, Minnesota. You're on the air.
Hey, Jim, thank you for this show. This is a very, very good. I appreciate it. I wanted to make a comment on your what you said about the importance of personal contact instead of just putting on a smile or a like tag onto someone's comment. I have a Facebook, but I don't use it a lot, and it's only merely to keep in contact with a few people, but at the same time, I think that it's not all bad. I think it should be used with self-control, and I think you touched on that in what you said. But I just wanted to say thank you for bringing up something, even though it would be quite possible stepping on toes. I just wanted to say thank you very much. But I also know that I don't spend a lot of time on it because I have 5 small children that I'd rather spend my time with and cultivate them and raise them for the Lord instead of use my time looking on who posted what, who liked what comment. And to me, that's not near as important as spending time with the family, because social media in any facet just drains your time, especially when it comes to family time, church time, and anything like that. So anyway, that's just my 2 cents.
Amen. God bless you, Tim. Thanks for the call. Yep. Let's go to KB, Tomo, Wisconsin. You're on the air, KB.
Afternoon. I wanted to ask you if you could reiterate point number 3. I had to mute my radio real quick, and then I just had a comment.
Well, point number 3, you are putting thoughts in your mind. I can't go through the whole point, but that was
okay,
the synopsis.
Yep, that's fine. Perfect. I've been really judicious about the use that I have of social media. It's really easy to be really addicted to that, become addicted, and like you keep your nose in the screen, you know, for the entire day, even at work. And I, with the posts that I have, I've been focusing on making sure that they are encouraging posts, and I've had to do a weeding out process. You know, not all the people that I, you know, friended at first, you know, were like all they cracked up to be in terms of what I believe in and the way I feel about how social media should work. And, you know, I've had to weed out, you know, some people, and I focus on the people that, you know, need help and encouragement, and turn it. And like you mentioned, it doesn't replace, you know, actual interaction. You know, likes and shares aren't interaction with people.
Yeah.
Every time I get the opportunity to do that, I make it a point to do that too. And it seems to help me a lot, you know, I got to focus, you know, only so much time doing that. Otherwise I could get really, you know, sucked into the vortex on that.
Yeah. Thanks so much, KB. You know, we can become so depressed. I only got this many likes. I was hoping to get this many likes to my post. And even by posting things, we can become depressed internally because, again, the focus is so often on self. Chance in Salina, Kansas, you're on the air.
Hi, Jim. Thank you for the program today. I definitely some toes were stepped on for sure. Really, it has been a blessing for you to bring that up because today I've just been on the road and was kind of thinking to tune into your program, and something was telling me to just turn on my phone and get on FM radio on my phone and just listen to your program. So it's been really definitely a blessing, and I really want to appreciate for, you know, Lord leading you to basically give us insight on this and how accurate it really much is, how we can become so addicted to this to social media in general, and how we just need to be careful about that.
Amen. Thank you, Chance. Appreciate the call. Glad you tuned in today.
You too.
Bye-bye. When people look at your social media postings, I want you to think about this. When people look at your Facebook page, they look at your social media postings, can they tell that you're a born-again believer? Let's go to Amanda in Ohio. You're on the air.
Yes, Jim. I'd like to make the comment that I do notice that a lot of people, and when you see them, they're all connected to the phones that they have, and you try to talk to them, and sometimes they just don't want to answer. And I think, you know, social media or internet can be good in a sense of this, that there are a lot of news stories. Some of them are false and fake, but there are a lot of them that are good news, and we hear a lot of good things. But it's a thing of just using wisdom, because I feel like that the Lord gave the Bible, which was many years ago, and it stood the test of time. And you've never, never heard of anyone that I know of with any good common sense saying anything ill about the Bible as far as the information given. It's accurate. It's up to date. Even though it was written thousands of years ago, it's still up to date.
Yeah.
And if you hear about the internet, you're always hearing, well, this is bad, this is bad, this is not true, this is not true. So I would try to warn anyone, use wisdom. If you use the internet, use wisdom. If you listen to the media, use wisdom. Get in the Bible before you get into all this other.
Amen. Thank you, Amanda.
Thank you.
Appreciate the call. And, you know, I'm so thankful for the technology. There are many listening to us online right now through the internet, people who listen to us through social media channels. What a joy to be able to express biblical thought and to preach the gospel by way of the internet and through social media. Let's go to New Philadelphia, Ohio. Lee, you're on the air.
Hi, Jim. I was one of those that was ready to walk away from social media due to the negativity. I pastor a local church, and my grandson said to me one day, "Pap, let's put together a church page for Facebook." So we did. And since we've been online, 50,000 people, last count, have visited the page. One person did acknowledge that they invited Jesus Christ into their heart from reading the sermon every Sunday.
Praise God.
We put the Sundays or the sermons online there, and anywhere from 300 to 400 weekly will read them. I had one that 10,000 people read. I wish that would happen every week.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it's a way to reach people that you will never, never get in their house. You'll never talk to them.
Yeah.
So it's a good thing when used properly.
Amen. Thank you, Lee. Appreciate you sharing that. Robert is calling from Apple Valley, California. You're on the air, Robert.
God bless you, Jim. I just want to thank you for this program today. It's truly a blessing and full of truth and confirmation for me. And I just want to come confessing. You know, I've posted some things that, you know, that on Facebook that in jokingly having to do with sports and things, and I've just come to realize that those things don't represent Christ well. And also, being a minister, you know, you just get caught up in those moments, and we sometimes ignore the punching in the side of the Holy Spirit, saying, you know, that maybe that's not too good. I post scripture and try to encourage people and leading people to Christ, but then I must confess at the same time, I've posted some things jokingly that I believe don't sit well with the Lord, and I just want to come confessing, and I want to thank you today. I'm going to post on Facebook today, you know, apologizing for my post and that I have may have posted. You know, the Bible says out of the same mouth proceed blessing and curses, and I think out of the same post shouldn't come blessings and curses. Amen. It should be one or the other. And if I'm going to represent Christ, I need to represent Christ at all times and all ways, no matter what I'm doing. If it's not glorifying God, I need to stay away from it. So I just want to come confessing that. I want to thank you, Jim. God bless you, brother. This is very timely today, especially where we're at in the world. And, you know, I just want to thank you, Jim. God bless you.
God bless you, Robert, and thank you for the message. You keep preaching. I'll turn the pages.
Yes, sir. You know, I need to get off of Facebook and get my face in the book.
Amen. There you go. Amen. Thank you
God
for the call.
God bless you, brother. Thank you.
Bye-bye now. Steve in Salina, Kansas, you're on the air.
You know, Jim, the one caller said that if you use it wisely, it's something good. But I'm going to say something, and this is negative. It's an eye-opener. You know what? I've seen a lot of relationships destroyed online.
Yes.
I've seen marriages destroyed online. I'm just talking to a friend. Well, you got 250 friends. I mean, come on now. How many of those people are your friends? If you have one good friend in life, you have a blessing. But these people weren't friends. They were using that the social media pages just for their own good, and it wrecked a lot of marriages. You know, Satan can use this very well, and it's of the world. So use caution, use discretion, and it can be used for good. I'm not trying to be all negative here, but it's a pretty dangerous thing when Mark Zuckerberg says, when he's a founder, CEO, when he's a young CEO of Facebook, he said, people trust me because they're a bunch of dumb, and then he used an explanative. That's what he said about Facebook. You can look it up online, what he said. I can't say it over the air, but
sure.
If that man's saying that, probably not too good is going to come out of it.
Thank you, Steve, for your thoughts. Christine in Racine, Wisconsin, you're on the air.
I want to thank you for admonishing us today, and I think that, unfortunately, the brothers and sisters that I have on my Facebook are, it's almost like they're embarrassed of the word, and I try to use it for good, as that one gentleman said. I that's what my main focus is, but you will be lucky if you get one or two likes, and there's a couple of people who really do appreciate that stuff, and that's what my goal is, to try to build up the brethren with good sermons, good stuff, crosstalk. I put up your things too. That's what my goal is. So it can be used for good, but I've seen just so much. It's a self-focus that just can be just so debilitating, and people need to examine their motives. Thank you, Jim.
Thank you, Christine, for your call. Let's see if we can squeeze Merlin before the break. Merlin, Tennessee, you're on the air.
Yeah, Jim. Have we ever stopped and thought why it's called the World Wide Web, and also why it's called the Internet? And also, the Apple slogan is Eve taking a bite out of the apple. Those are just things to ponder.
Yeah.
Thanks for what you're doing, Jim.
Okay, thank you. And certainly, Jesus used that to go into all the world. There's not a problem with the word world, but we are to be in the world, not of the world. And that's where the difference lies. We're going to take a quick break. Be back in 60 seconds. I've got a few open lines if you try to get in. We've got a few open lines right now, 800-733-9829. We're talking today about the Christian and social media. Again, our number, 800-733-9829.
For the Worldview Week in Minute, I'm Brandon House. Our website's worldviewradio.com. My friends, Americans have been under a brainwashing operation for a long time. And not only are they following the philosophies of the Marxist from the Frankfurt School that came to America in 1933 from Germany, they're also following the ideas of an organization known as the Tavistock Institute. The Tavistock Institute did research on people who would go to war, who were POWs and who were interrogated. And what their research showed is that they could pit individuals against each other. And the goal was to pit people against each other and create stress, and to see if they could create so much stress and disunity that people would let go of their convictions. This philosophy and idea has been used on the American people at every level, education, media, and religion, to create stress, opposites colliding, and then for people to say, finally, I will let go of my convictions and join the liberal group consensus. Beware of this brainwashing.
listening to Crosstalk on VCY America. Our topic today is the Christian and social media. We're going right back to the lines, which have all filled up here again. Let's go to Pennsylvania. And caller, go ahead. You're on the air.
Hi, I'm a teacher of children and teens in various capacities, and you're absolutely 100%. In addition to the depression and the lies and the narcissism, I almost every week have a parent come to me with concerns about how much their children are on social media and on their phones and on the internet and gaming. But almost every one of those parents, just about every time I see them, they are on their phone or their computer. I just want to express, we live by example.
Yeah.
And I want to stress to the parents, please, you're absolutely right. We need to. And I think about who the prince of the power of the air is, and we can see that. So thank you for all you do.
Thank you for your call.
Mm-hmm. Bye-bye.
Glendale, Wisconsin. Robert, you're on the air.
Well, good afternoon, Brother Jim. Hey, fabulous program. Fabulous message. I think what we really need, especially at this time, is programs like this, where the body of Christ is being convicted by their action. We can't be light in this world if we're not light in this world. And if we're not proclaiming the Word of God in everything that we do, like you quoted out of Colossians chapter 3, verse 17 earlier, we're failing the Lord. We're not coming to the throne boldly proclaiming to Him that we need Him to lead us and guide us in all truth and righteousness and keep His word as our forefront. It says over there in Acts that He added to the church daily as He saw fit. Okay? Now, on this internet, we don't know who's hearing it, and we don't know who's being convicted by the things that the Lord is convicting them through His Holy Spirit. So we need to keep that in mind. But thank you so much. I appreciate it. You know, John MacArthur once said, if I'm wrong and you point it out to me, I'll repent and get it right. Mm. If a guy like him or a brother like him could say something like that, we should all be on the same boat, the ark, the Lord Jesus Christ, right? Hey,
thank you, Robert.
Thank you, brother.
Appreciate the call. Let's go to Peoria, Illinois. Beth, you're on the air.
Hi, I just wanted to weigh in here. I joined Facebook in the early days of it, but then soon found that it was becoming too overwhelming, and it was like walking into a room full of people, and I was only getting bits and pieces of conversations, you know, unless you spend a lot of time on there, and that it was becoming a time waster. So as time went on, and then I was seeing our Christian young people especially losing their Christian morals and standards as they would see their peers doing or saying things that were questionable, and that was just getting heartbreaking. And even though I would see things that were good and uplifting, but then I would see things that I would have been better off not having seen, and I would go off and stew about it. And so finally I just had to get off of Facebook and decided to start investing better in face-to-face relationships. And I feel like that's the important thing, you know, especially when we're reaching out to people. And there are many that do good things on Facebook, and, you know, praise the Lord for them, but for me, I had to get off of there.
Okay.
So, and just invest personally in people.
Thank you, Beth.
So,
developing those personal relationships. Appreciate the call.
Thank you for your program.
Mm-hmm.
Bye-bye.
Okay, from Illinois, we're going next to Goodyear, Arizona. Debbie, you're on the air.
Hi, thank you so much for taking my call. I just want to make a comment that I'm in my 50s. I have never joined Facebook. I just think that God does not want me to do that. I feel that He speaks to me to stay away from it. I see it with employees that I work with who are just addicted to it. I know there are good things that come from it, but overall, I think as Christians, if we could just stay away from that, I think we'd be better off.
Okay.
And I just want to say thanks again. Have a great day.
Thank you, Debbie, for your thoughts. Georgia in Milwaukee, you're on the air.
Thanks. I just wanted to respond to all the people that are commenting and that people that work in Silicon Valley don't allow their children on social media. I just disagree with Christians being on social media. It may have some benefits. I don't know what they are, but everyone I've ever met on social media that is on social media is addicted to it. I think personal conversations, meeting people at work, grocery stores, whatever, can further the word of God more than social media can.
Well, thank you, George. And I just want to say this. Social media is enabling us to take the message of the gospel all over the world. I mean, in every country of this world, and we're grateful for that. How we utilize this technology and employ it certainly makes all the difference. I'll have a concluding thought here in just a moment. One more call from Cookeville, Tennessee. And Debbie, you're on the air.
Hi. I agree with the previous caller. Fabulous program. Appreciate the edifying and the encouraging us to focus on what's a priority. I am a single parent. Would appreciate any prayers. It's a struggle. I do have an adult son that voluntarily gave his internet, access up for several months and found that he had a very deepening relationship with his real friends, the real face-to-face, mm-hmm. and also with his family members.
Indeed. Thank you, Debbie. Appreciate your sharing that here today. And to all of you, and I know we could likely go another hour with phone calls coming in from people across the country. And I'm, again, my emphasis is to evaluate all of this. And my challenge today is not saying get off social media. I'm saying here is a tool that can be utilized to advance the gospel. But I'd like to challenge you today. I'd like you to go and look at your Facebook page, if you have one. Look at your social media accounts, if you have them. And if you indeed are a born-again believer in Jesus Christ, objectively look at your site and look at your postings. Can others tell that you're a believer in Jesus Christ by what's on your page, by looking at what's on your profile, by looking at the things that you're posting, your responses, the comments that you are making? And if they can't, folks, it's time to take it down. It's time to change it. It's time to pull that stuff off. It's time to pull off the shares of the garbage that is going on out there. Oh, we're in this world, but we're not to be of the world. All that we do, the things we say, think, type, text, do it all to the glory of God. Thanks for joining us here today on Crosstalk, and I know it's a little different than normal and perhaps stepped on some toes along the way, but could I challenge you, look at your site, look at the sites of your family members and the postings, and make a determination. Does this line up with biblical truth? Does this line up what others would see, that there is a difference in me, that I'm a child of the King? Thanks for stopping by on Crosstalk.
You've been listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Tape Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208, or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.